I do want to prayers today, and the first thing I'd like to do is ask you to turn with me to the third chapter of the Gospel according to John, and I want to read just a verse there, or just two verses rather, from John chapter 3. Verses 14 and 15, while he was on earth. And he said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And I want to ask you, if you would, to turn back to the 21st chapter of Numbers. And I want to read this wilderness account that the Lord was making reference to here. Numbers chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. It says, "And when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it up on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." And I want to stop reading there, having read from Numbers 21, verses 1 through 9. Now, what Moses did here under the instruction of God, when he made this brazen serpent and put it up on a pole, that's what Jesus was having reference to in the third chapter of John when he said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness." And so I want to try today, and I want to ask the church here at Fairview Memorial, and I want to ask anybody that's here today that has been born again, that has been saved by God's grace, I want to ask you to pray today that the word of the Lord would be effective, that it would find its place in people's hearts, because I'd like to try to reach out again today to those of you who are here who are not saved. And it is my prayer that you will seek the Lord and be saved. I ask you today to give attention to the Word of God, because the Word of the Lord is the greatest thing that you're going to hear all week long. And you're no doubt there's going to be a lot of things that you will hear, but hearing the word of God. You know, the Bible says faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so I want to ask you today to give attention to the word of the Lord. I want you to think about this thought with me, that you have been bitten. You have been bitten. And now you must look in order to live. And I want to say some things about the brazen serpent that was made here. But I want to say, first of all, that, you know, whenever we study in the scriptures, whenever we study about these Old Testament types, and we know in the Hebrew letter that there is much said about them, but I believe that we always need to remember that the types were not perfect. And I don't believe that God ever intended for them to be perfect. The antitype is what's perfect. The Lord, the one that they were showing, that they were foreshadowing, He is the one that's perfect. And so we find in the 10th chapter of Hebrews that I believe the Hebrew writer essentially tells us that. He said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, he says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect." And so what the purpose of the types and the shadows that we have in the Old Testament, they were to show forth the one that was going to come, the one that would be perfect, the one that would make the acceptable sacrifice. But I find it interesting, and I know that the Hebrew writer, in great length and in great detail, spoke about the things that happened in the days of Moses, that spoke about the things that happened in the days of the tabernacle. He spoke about in great detail about the function of the Levitical priest and how they would accomplish the service there at the tabernacle, and how that the high priest was the only one that could take the blood in beyond the veil into the Holy of Holies and offer the blood there. But and we read in the epistles how that other apostles spoke of those animals and the animal sacrifices in connection with the Lord Jesus. And we know that the Apostle Peter spoke of him as a lamb slain, and we know that John the Baptist spoke of him as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And there was much said about the animal sacrifices, but if I'm not mistaken, and I could be in this is a thought that actually came to me just before I left for church, but I believe that through the Gospels, in the words of the Lord Jesus himself, I believe that this type that he speaks about in the third chapter of the Gospel of John, where he speaks about Moses lifting up that serpent in the wilderness, I believe that in all the Lord's teachings that was the only particular type that he used to express to people what it was that he was going to face. I don't remember Jesus ever explaining the animal sacrifices the way that the Hebrew writer did, but he did use this concerning the serpent, the brazen serpent. And I think that probably, in my estimation anyway, they all make good points, and certainly they're all relevant, but I think what happened there with the brazen serpent is probably the one that will best, or that would best show what it was that Jesus was going to do in order to
accomplish making the atonement for our sins. The brazen serpent was actually lifted up on a pole. And the Lord said, the Lord Jesus made the statement. He said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men to me." And so he said, you know, when they made the animal sacrifices there at the tabernacle, they didn't lift them up on a pole, but they did lift the brazen serpent up on a pole before the people there. And the people were told that after they were bitten, that if they would look to that, that they would live. Now, Israel made a big mistake in that, as they did in a lot of things. But I want to make sure that I clarify this in this message, that the brazen serpent did not heal any of them. The brazen serpent had no power to heal them. The brazen serpent was there to serve as a type and a shadow of the one that truly could heal. It was God that healed them. It was God that spared them. And the Lord never intended, when he instructed Moses to make this brazen serpent and to lift it up on a pole, God never intended for them to worship that brazen serpent. But we know that they did. We know that after it was used in the wilderness here, we know that the children of Israel kept it with them. It's spoken about, and you can find it recorded in 2 Kings chapter 18, that they kept that and they worshiped that. And when Hezekiah, the king of Judah, took reign, he began to try to bring back the old paths. He began to try to restore what God intended. And one of the things that he did, not only did he destroy the high places where they were guilty of idolatry, but one of the things he did was he took that brazen serpent that Moses had made. And the Bible tells us there in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 4, that one thing that Hezekiah did was he broke the brazen serpent and he called it Nehushtan. And that just simply meant he was just telling the people it's a piece of brass. That's what Nehushtan meant, a piece of brass. And so they were not to worship it, but they did. And the Bible tells us plainly that we are not to worship anybody or anything but God. And I'm going to tell you today that if you look any place else other than to him for salvation, you're never going to find it, because he's the only one that's able to save. Now, what happened here and what I have read before you was that when they had sinned against God, and that's why that these serpents were sent, these fiery serpents were among them in the first place. That's why they were dying in the first place, because they had sinned against God. And so he sent the fire serpents, and they were obviously very poisonous. They had a lethal bite, and when they would bite somebody, poison was able to bring about death. And so the Lord made a remedy. He made a way that they could escape that poisonous bite. He made a way that a person could actually be bitten and still live. And what he did was he took the, he instructed Moses, rather, to make that brazen serpent and to place it on a pole. Now, we may think of this as being a strange contrast because of what he did there, because of what it was that actually brought about the problem in the first place were serpents. I mean, it was serpents that actually was causing death, and yet God tells Moses, he says, you make an image of the very thing that bit them, and you place it up on a pole before them. And so they were looking to an image of what it was that had bit them and what was causing them to die in order to be able to live after they had been bitten. Now, the brazen serpent, as it is with types and shadows in the law, the brazen serpent that was up there on that pole was not actually, it was not literally what had bit them. It was not a live serpent. It was something that had been made out of brass. It was an image. It was strictly an image of what had bit them. And that's what God has done. And Jesus was saying there, as Moses lifted up the serpent, not just that it was on a pole, not just that it was set up on a pole. There's more to what Jesus was saying there than just that serpent being on a pole. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You know, many people in the world today, whenever things happen in their life, whenever there's something bad that happens or something like that, and you know, there are all types of problems today that come up on the human race because of this thing called sin. I mean, there's all types of suffering in the world because of sin. And Brother Elliot said this morning in his testimony that we all know that we're going to die. And that's true, isn't it? That's exactly what the Bible tells us. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5. The living know that they shall die. And we know that death is coming. And the Bible teaches me that the very reason for that is because of sin. The reason that we're going to die and leave this world is because of sin. Now, you know, it wasn't the brazen serpent that Moses lifted up on that pole, as I said, that bit them. In fact, you know what? That brazen serpent that God told Moses to make and put up on that pole, you know what? That brazen serpent hadn't done anything. It had not done anything wrong. It was just there to typify what was to come. And so as Moses lifted up the serpent there in the wilderness on that pole, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And so, you know, as I was saying there, God is often blamed because, you know, when things go bad, when things go wrong in people's life, oftentimes people turn and they say, you know, I can't believe that God, a God who's supposed to be a loving God, could do such things or allow such things to happen. But friend, listen, make no mistake. The problems that the human family has today, the things that afflict the human family today, they were brought, we brought those things upon ourselves. We brought them upon ourselves. Man chose sin. Man chose to disobey God, and by doing so, we brought not only death, but I believe all types of problems upon us. And this world, from the very time that Adam transgressed the law of God, there have been problems among the human family. There have been problems and troubles and toils and sorrows and heartaches in this life ever since that moment, and there will be those things will exist among the human family until God puts an end to this world. We're going to have trouble, and we're going to have sorrow, and we're going to experience death, and all those things are the result of sin. But I want you to think about what God did as a remedy for that. Because he did what Moses was instructed to do in the wilderness. It was man that sinned. It was man that caused death to come into the world. Roman letter tells us that very plainly. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, Romans 5:12, and death by sin, And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so man was responsible for that. Man was who was guilty of sin. It was by Adam that sin came into the world, and death as a result of sin. And the Bible tells us that every one of us will die for our own iniquity. We will. We'll experience that. And so God's plan of salvation, God's remedy, was to bring a man into the world that could redeem us. You see, they were looking, when they looked to that brazen serpent, they were looking at the very image of what had bitten them in the first place. Consider these verses. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took up on him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I want to tell you something today, lost friend, make no mistake. When the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, when he was lifted up on a pole, when he was lifted up there on that tree, on that old rugged cross, when he hung there between heaven and earth, dying for our sins, make no mistake that that was a man that was dying. It was a man. He was feeling physical pain. He was feeling emotional pain, spiritual anguish. He was a man. He was the man, Christ Jesus. What did Pilate say when he brought him out? Behold the man. And he was a man. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21. "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank him for his sacrifice on Calvary. Thank him for what he did. Folks, I'll tell you what, if it were not for Jesus, you and I today would all be headed for hell, and there wouldn't be a thing in the world that we could do about it. If it had not been for Jesus coming and paying that debt and making the sacrifice that he did. You know, I believe that that serpent's bite there was a foreshadowing of sin. It was bringing death. It was bringing death to them. And there was only one remedy. You know, God didn't tell them back there. He didn't tell them that there were many ways that they could escape that. He did not tell them that there were many ways that they could get over that serpent's bite. The only instruction that he gave to Moses was, he said, make that brazen serpent and put it on a pole, and whoever looks at the brazen serpent will live. He did not give them plan A and plan B and plan C. He only told them of one thing that would help them. He only told them of one remedy there, and that was to look to that brazen serpent. And that brazen serpent, friends, listen, it certainly was a type of Christ. It certainly foreshadowed the sacrifice that was to come. If it had not been that, then Jesus Christ would have never said, and we wouldn't have it recorded today in the third chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus would have never used the comparison, and he would have never said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's exactly what it represented. It represented and it foreshadowed lost sinners coming to Christ for salvation. Now, friends, I've told you many times, I'm going to tell you again today that if you want to be saved, you're going to have to look to the one that was lifted up for your sins. You can't look at anybody or anything else. You can't look to your loving parents. You can't look to your grandparents. You can't look to the church. You cannot look to anybody other than Jesus for the salvation of your soul. You can't look to yourself. You cannot save yourself. You see, God made a remedy. He made a remedy. You know, when those serpents bit those people, God, I mean, all God would have had to done was merely spoke and healed them if he chose to. But he showed what he would send. He showed the one that he would send as the remedy. He made a remedy. He made a plan. He made a way for people to be saved. He made a man. A man. You see, the Bible tells us of two Adams. And it says the first Adam, which was the Adam that we read about in the book of Genesis that was made from the dust of the earth, the first Adam is of the earth, and he's earthy. But the second Adam, or the last Adam, the Bible says, is the Lord from heaven. And by the sins, by the disobedience of one man, were many made sinners. By the obedience of one man shall many be made righteous. Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. You can find salvation in him today. If you will look at him, and if you will put all of your trust in God's remedy, in God's way of doing things, then you can be saved. But make no mistake, you've been bitten. Make no mistake today, you are a sinner. You're a sinner. Boy, I'll tell you what, there's people today, they're lying to people. I want you to know this, sinner friend, today, there's people that will lie to you. They're lying to people. They're telling people that they're good. You know, why, you know, God's not going to do anything bad to you. You know, God is love. He's not going to, you know, do anything bad to anybody, and all you've got to do is just, just accept his goodness, and that's all there is to it. I'm telling you what, friends, they're lying to people. The truth is, you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You're guilty before God. You're guilty of sin. You are guilty of offending God. God is the offended party, and the human race was guilty of an offense against God. And the only way for us to come back into fellowship with God is to look to the one that hung on the cross of Calvary for our sins, because our sin, according to Isaiah chapter 59, our sin severs our relationship. Our sin separates us from God, and we cannot approach nigh unto him, and we cannot come back into his presence in any way except it be through a mediator. And there's only one mediator between men and God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. We're cut off. Don't make any mistake today about it. You are a sinner. And you don't stand in good favor with God. You stand condemned right now. That's what the Bible tells us. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth will one day be condemned. Or he that believeth not, rather, will one day be condemned. No, he that believeth not is condemned already. Presently, you stand condemned before a holy and a just God. And the Bible tells us that it takes godly sorrow to work repentance unto salvation. You know what that means? I'll tell you what I believe it means. I believe that in order for people to be saved, that, and I believe this exists in true repentance, because godly sorrow works repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. Folks, listen, it's when our heart sorrows that we have offended a holy and a just and a righteous God. That's godly sorrow. You know, Judas was sorry about some things, but he never sorrowed after a godly sort, did he? Judas actually repented, but he didn't repent toward God. He was sorry that he got caught, sorry for what he had done, and the sorrows of the world works death, but godly sorrow works repentance unto salvation. So you're condemned, and you're lost, and you're separated from God. And the one that was suspended on the tree between heaven and earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died, that man who died for the sins of man, that perfect man, you see, he wasn't, just like that brazen serpent wasn't exactly like the serpents that bit them, Christ wasn't exactly like us either. He was made in the image and after the likeness of man, but he wasn't sinful. Never guilty of any sin. He was perfect. He was perfect. He wasn't from the corruptible seed that you and I are from. He was the Son of God, but he was a man. And he made the way. He made the way for people to be saved. I'd like for us to have a song.